Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a discombobulated episode of Gaming Uncensored. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
I feel like every episode of Gaming Uncensored is discombobulated. Also, that this I just noticed it again right now as I started talking. I taught a class this morning and my voice started to go. And I have no idea why. And now all of a sudden it's starting to go again. So I will likely get progressively more hoarse as the show goes along. So something to look forward to.
That's fantastic. We've done this for so long that you really would think that we would be able to just walk into our respective places and hit record and go. But that is not how this works.
Never.
It just doesn't work. No. And we need to tell people that you have a one-year-old son sleeping in the other room that could wake up at any minute.
Baby monitor right here. So if you start hearing something in the background, and we go, oh, that's it. Show's over.
So there's that.
Why.
Yeah.
So just be prepared.
I it's just life and I understand it and they're wonderful and we love the kids, but we spent 5 minutes before we fired everything up here talking about a serious lack of sleep. Which will take you the rest of your life to get back.
Yes.
So
yeah, the joys of parenthood for sure. There's a lot of good things to it. Sleeping is not one of them. Sleep schedule is just brutal. And Genevieve, who is now six, started sleeping well at about six, and so we only have like 5 more years, and then maybe we get back to getting to like sleep regularly.
Well, let's be real honest. She's sleeping better.
Right.
Apparently, she's sleeping really well, but her sleeping really well still hinges on her knowing where her dad is at all times. Yes. Like seriously, she's sleeping well as long as she knows exactly where her dad is while she's sleeping.
Yeah, so I tell you, before we fired up the mics, there was a thunderstorm overnight here, and that woke her up about 4 a.m, lightning and thunder and such, and so she came running downstairs and had to have some help getting back to sleep about 4 o'clock this morning, which may be part of my voice going hoarse, who knows.
We are
here nonetheless.
And believe it or not, we've actually played some video games.
We have.
It's a
crazy world.
I actually, after I complained last week about looking at the YouTube and not finding anything, you got like 5 videos ahead of me.
Yeah.
Not sure how you did that.
Me neither.
I do have to mention, I think there is some weirdness with the Final Fantasy VII saves and the way that, because I see you tinkering with it all the time, and I've seen you play some stuff multiple times because of save issues, and so I don't know if that's a tech problem on Sony's side, but it seems to be.
It does seem to be that the auto save functionality whenever it happens is not as seamless and as present as I would like it to be. And now, admittedly, most of the time I put my console into sleep mode, and so I just pop it back up where I left off. But of course, when there's something that happens, there's a power outage or whatever, you know, like that, you lose that, like, really used to in 2024 that, like, we just pop back up at, you know, whatever place we were in a game and don't lose, not tons of time, but like 30 minutes of gameplay or something like that, that right. I go back and redo. And I'm like, this should be a thing that we figured out by now. Like, and so I'm manually saving really often now because of that happening a couple of times, that I just manually save to get back into the same spot. And it, you know, it is what it is, but it is a little obnoxious.
It's not just you. I had to do it the other day. I think I was playing Midnight Suns and I had to do that. Something happened and I didn't save, and so you go back and play a half hour, which we don't have we've talked about it before, but we don't have an extra half hour to play.
Yeah, that's the key. It's really hard to get caught up whenever you lose that bit of time. And it's also just like frustrating, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, oh, now I don't want to play because I've already done this and I don't want to do it. I have this thing, and maybe a lot of other people have this thing, but for me, it like just drives me nuts. Say if I'm like leaving home or like going on vacation or something, we forget something at home. If we're more than like 5 minutes away, I'm like, screw it. We could figure out
whatever. Walmart. That's for Walmart. Exactly. Yeah.
I hate going back and doing things over. Like, I don't know why. Like, I just have this visceral like reaction to it. Maybe other people aren't that way. Hopefully some other people are, but I just like, it just drives me crazy to have to go back and redo something. And so in a video game, when I have to do that, from what, at least from my perspective, is no fault of my own. Of course, again, we're spoiled in modern gaming. Once upon a time, this was the only way things worked. But like, it just irks me to no end. And again, like, there's been times I fired up Final Fantasy, like there was one big chunk that it lost, and I literally said, no, I'm gonna go play something else, and didn't come back to it for a couple of days just because I didn't want to do it again because I'd already done that. And yeah, it's, well, complaining about nothing, but you know, like, that's what we do.
I have to tell you that is not a you thing. I have a 19-year-old gentleman that works with me on the weekends. And I didn't realize how detail-oriented I have become until he started working with me.
Yeah.
And me having to walk around the house going, okay, see that right there? That's part of your job. You need to do that. Like, and it's stuff as an adult that should be obvious, like cleaning the sink and doing
like, sure.
It's just like little stuff that I'm sure that we missed when we were his age, but like you were talking about leaving the house and not going back. I hate having to repeat myself.
Yeah.
I remember Dr. Lee talking to us about not repeating herself. And I remember thinking when we were sitting in those meetings that she was being dramatic, and now I'm in her situation, and she was not, because yeah. I hate repeating myself.
Yes,
and you're a college professor. I don't know if you tell your students that, but like,
yes, and I'm also a parent, and so the repeating myself happens so often, and it is so obnoxious.
Yeah. So,
for whatever reason, that's just a thing. But that said, we have played some Final Fantasy, which has been cool. I played something else too. I'm excited to talk about. We'll mention it here in just a little bit. Before we get into everything else, so talk about what we have on the show today and all that good stuff. Do need to say thanks to the Patreon supporters: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. Thank you all for your continued support. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gamingcensored.com, click that Become a Patron link near the top of the page. You can get video versions of this podcast pretty close relative to when they come out. I just realized yesterday, in preparing for the show today, that I had uploaded the video for the podcast, but I'd never posted it on Patreon. So it is there now. That's what is on there now. But it just missed that step. So we get it there. You can go back and watch episode 485. It's there. It's just there as of yesterday.
I try real hard to go to the websites and check things out and make sure it's all there, because I don't have kids. And I'm getting better sleep than you are, and so I have no reason to not do that. But I did not do that, so I apologize for not catching that.
Fair enough. But you got there, so it's there. So go watch that. Go watch this one whenever this one gets there. if you're watching or if you're listening to the podcast version, want to see us, you can go do that at Patreon at some point. So. On the show, I'll mention really quick, Sony had a state of play, so we'll talk about some of the announcements from that. Not massive. Sony just hasn't done a massive event really this year. This one wasn't massive, but had a couple of notable things. Got a couple of business things to talk about. Got a couple of TV things to talk about, which feels like kind of flow of shows recently. Like, there's the business crap in gaming, and then there's like what game is being made into a movie or TV show, and that's basically what we have today. So we'll get through as much of that as we can. If we don't get to it, it'll be on the show notes, gamingcensored.com.
Yes, and we have to start with the fact that you finally got to play some Final Fantasy.
Yes.
And we've been away from it for several weeks, and you've talked about this before, that it's just totally completely absurd. And I just have to bring up the fact that the section that I saw last night was you in the gym in a setup competition as Tifa.
Yes.
With everybody else in the gym. And like, this was like 40 minutes of video of Tifa just doing setups.
Yes.
And I love this game, but after 40 minutes, I was like, this is so stupid. This is absurd.
It is so dumb. And it's just the opposite of everything we just talked about, because like, all it was doing the same thing over and over again. This is the other side of the coin of that issue, that I hate to redo things that I've already done. But I also hate to fail at things that I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And so like, the final like setup battle is really tough. Like, it was hard. I did it several times and lost several times. It got to the point that I'm like, I'm done with it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. One more time. No, I'm not. One more time. It's that stupid roguelike thing that hooks me on those games. Got me hooked on the stupid sit-up competition in Final Fantasy VII. And my goodness, I got there. Yeah, I did it. But like, it was like, just like, I gotta do this. Like, I just couldn't help but like go, I know I am capable of this. I'm gonna get it done, and just doing that stupid thing over and over until I got it done.
And the funny thing with you is, it must be a brain thing, because you only do that with certain games, right?
Yeah, like that, for sure.
For you, I do that with everything. Like, if I'm playing something, I'm notorious. In any game, Cyberpunk, Midnight Suns, any game, if I feel like I failed, even in a conversation, I will reload.
Yeah.
I am the worst at save scumming that has ever rolled the face of the planet, because I don't like to fail in a video game, if I can help. Like, okay, Midnight Suns, for example, just to give you an idea, they have several little things, and I'm talking about this, in the game that encourage you to talk to people and do things for them. And one is that you can grow your friendship with the heroes, and more friendship equals more abilities when you're out in the field and various things. And so I've been really focused hardcore on the friendship aspect of things, because it's real helpful. So when I'm talking to somebody, there's like four options. And I know, I've figured out that if you choose the right option, I know how many friendship points you get. And so if I get less than what the optimal is, I will reload, because that's my focus with that person that I'm talking to, is to get those friendship points. It's the dumbest thing. It's not how you're supposed to play video games. It's not. But I'm doing this for a specific purpose. And it goes back to us not having the time that we used to have. Like, if I'm going to do a certain thing, I want to do that certain thing and get the best outcome possible.
Yeah.
Because I'm not coming back to this. And so I'm awful. I will reload all the time.
Yeah. That's fair. And I think that's a perfectly legit way to approach gaming, especially with that last caveat you mentioned there. We know there's so many games we're just never coming back to.
Right. Like,
as much as we would love to, and replayability is something I care about in games, even though it matters to me almost zero practically, because I just don't hardly ever replay games, maybe for the same reason we're talking about. But I just very rarely come back to a game. And so I do hear what you're saying of like, I got one shot at this. I want to make sure that I utilize that shot at getting through this game well.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. I get it. So,
I don't think we should be allowed to host a podcast based on those gaming habits, but that's the way it is.
You know, here we are. So, nobody's stopping us at this point.
Yeah.
Other than that, Final Fantasy is just still great, and we're going to play it. And once we get to stuff that's a little more interesting than sit-up competitions, we may have longer takes. I do have to mention one other thing that I've played just started a couple of days ago, because it's on Game Pass, so putting that out there for you.
Ooh. Well.
Frostpunk 2, officially out.
I saw it on Epic, and I was like, cool, I need to pick it. I didn't know it was on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass.
Okay.
So, yeah, go get it on Game Pass. I downloaded it the other day and have been playing with it some. I haven't put a ton of time into it, as is typical of anything that I've been playing for 2 days. There's just not a whole lot of time in 2 days. But I am I really, you know, we've talked about, we love Frostpunk. This War of Mine is a game we talked about on the show ad nauseum. And so the general vibe, the way that they make games, like 11-bit is super cool, and like, just yeah, Frostpunk 2 is all of that, like, continued on. It's really pretty. I mean, it looks great on a 4090. You definitely don't need a 4090 to make it look
right.
It's not that kind of game. But it does look really, really great. It is dark and dire and depressing and all of those things. And yet also has like this little bit of hope that goes with it, just like Frostpunk and this War of Mine did. And so it keeps you in it because it wants you to find those silver linings. Like, it's a game built on finding the little bits of joy amongst all of the despair, which there is a lot. You just have people freezing to death all the time, which is a bummer, but it does it a really engaging way. It's a city builder. If that's not a thing you're into, it's maybe not a game you're going to be into, but I really, really dig it.
They're great. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking here. Technology is not being good. But Frostpunk is one of those that is like, I don't know. Hold on. I don't know if I have the energy mentally.
Right. Hold on. Jamie's getting his mic back now. If you're ever gonna watch one show, this is a good one to watch.
So what I was doing right there is Logic decided to switch mic sources, and I saw it bouncing, cool. And so I was trying to fix that, and I just hit myself in the face. So I will get right back. I'll get right back to normal in a second. One thing I wanted to say about Frostpunk is I'm excited that it's out, and I want to play it, but at the same time, I don't know if I have the mental energy required to play it. What are your thoughts on that? Because that's the thing about these games, and we talked about it with this War of Mine. They're not fun.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fun.
It definitely takes a certain headspace. And so for me, like, right now I'm going to be playing two games, Frostpunk and Final Fantasy. Like those have got tons of other stuff on the docket, you know, whatever that needs to be played. But those are the two games that right now I'm like, okay, these are the games I'm playing. And they're enough diametrically opposed to each other in that in one, we just talked about a sit-up competition for whatever. And the other one is people freezing to death. That like having that ability to go back and forth between like super dark, depressing, moody, but really good game and super goofy, over the top, ridiculous, and also very good game is really nice. And I think that's like the key, right? Like you got to have a palate cleanser for it. Like, because if that's the only thing you're playing, like it's going to depress you. Like yeah. It's just hard. And that's not to say it's not good. It's great. And I would highly encourage people to play it. And again, it's not all dire. It's way less dire than this War of Mine. This War of Mine is just really hard. Frostpunk's not quite that dire. It's still pretty dire, but you don't, this War of Mine, you control individuals. And so you get to know people and then they die and you're like, ah, that sucks. In Frostpunk, because it's a city manager, more or less, you're playing like the god character, you know, of controlling everything. You don't get to know the people in the same way. And so when it's like 30 of your citizens have froze to death, you're like, well, that sucks. Too bad, you know, like at least it wasn't Bob, you know, like you just don't have any connection to that. And so like there is this like disconnect in that way that this War of Mine did not allow. Like this War of Mine really pushed the personal narrative through everything. And Frostpunk is kind of the opposite of that, which does make it a little bit easier to digest.
Yeah, I would think I'm definitely gonna play it. I'm not saying I'm not gonna play it, but like there is definitely certain time periods in life where it's easier to play those type of games than it is other times. And right now we're in a time in the world where I'm looking at Frostpunk going, it's a little too close to where we're at.
Yeah.
The world's a little bit depressing right now, and I'm not real sure if I need more of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely gonna pick it up. I'm excited, especially if it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, like, there's no reason not to.
No excuse. Yeah. So that's very cool.
It's great. And again, you can just try it out. Like you just get go and see if it's something that interests you and you can play it for a couple hours. If you're like, nope, not my thing. Either it's too dark and depressing, or if it's just not your style of game, who cares? Like it's on Game Pass, whatever. So if you have Game Pass, I'd highly encourage you to go check it out. If you don't have Game Pass and it's your kind of thing, I would highly encourage you to go check it out too, because it's just a great game and 11-bit does really good work.
Yes, they do. We've had those guys on the show before, and I would love to have them again because they were really cool to us.
Yes, so, for sure, which yeah. We're very, very fortunate for that. So,
yeah.
Other than that, anything else you've been playing?
I am kind of like bouncing around. I had to tell this one story. I told you on text. But I updated my graphics drivers for the rig, and I told you before, every time I do that, what I do is I run the benchmark in Cyberpunk.
Yep.
To see what the difference is. So I booted up Cyberpunk and I'm ran the benchmark, and I was like, well, I'm here, I might as well do something. So I go run a mission. And while I'm after I get done with this mission, I realize I'm in this empty mall, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go look around. In this mall, I find a functional arcade. And I'm not talking like two games. I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, 10, 10, just like what you would find in an arcade, just a row of cabinets. And there are apartments in Cyberpunk that have an arcade cabinet that's like one game.
But there's
not a whole lot of spaces where you go and there's like, here's all these games. And so I thought, okay, I'll try one and see what happens. And the one that I tried, and you can Google it if you like, because I'm sure it's running live on Google somewhere. it's called Trauma Drama. That's the name of the game. And essentially what it is a Contra knockoff.
Nice.
And I kid you not, I lost 45 minutes playing this Contra knockoff in an arcade in Cyberpunk, like V standing there by herself playing this game for 45 minutes, nobody else around. And finally, after I got to like level 9 or something and died, I'm like, I don't have time for this. And you know, clicked her out and got to walking around the world again. Looked up, it had been 45 minutes, and I'm like, what did I just do? And the thing that struck me, and it might get to you too if you get a chance to boot it up, but like the game that I was playing, and every game in those arcade cabinets, that's what we grew up on.
Yeah.
And that's what we played, and that's what we spent our time doing, was those type of games. And then you hit escape, and you're back in the Cyberpunk world, and it's stunningly beautiful, and it's everything that Cyberpunk is. And it's just really eerie to realize that not so long ago, not so many years ago, the games in these arcade cabinets were what we were playing, and we were happy about it. And now we have this.
Yeah.
Meaning Cyberpunk. And it's almost one of those things. Like I've been joking around with people for a long time that there have to be aliens, because all of the stuff that we have, we didn't come up with that. But we'd still be playing space. There's an alien in the government somewhere that's just feeding idiots tech. And like, here, plug this in and see how it works. And for all I know, like, Elon Musk may be an alien. I don't know. All yeah. I know is that the crap that we've got, we didn't do. Because I know the way you and I grew up, and standing in front of arcade cabinets and playing Atari and that kind of stuff. And now we have Cyberpunk.
Right.
And it's less than half a century later. So that's really eerie. I don't know if you've come across that in gaming lately, but it really messes with your head.
Yeah, it is. It just is amazing to see the progression of technology, but also the circular nature of everything we do. Nostalgia, as we've talked about, is a heck of a drug. And so anytime you can like put a Contra knockoff in a game, people like us are going to go, oh, Contra knockoff. Like, this is so cool. You know, like it's just a hook that is incredibly effective. But it is like wild that now we play games in games that are the games we played when we were a kid. it's super cool. It really is.
Cyberpunk is running underneath this stupid little arcade game while I'm playing this stupid little game. Like, we're playing the game inside the game that we're actually playing it. And like, it's one of those Matrix things where I'm like,
yes,
I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
You just look up and go, okay, okay, God, is this a simulation? Like,
because the rabbit hole goes down, but it also needs to go the other way. You know? Right, where are we in this? Like, yeah.
Right. You and I used to talk about a lot on the show that we're Christians. We grew up in church. That's something that we believe. That's something that we take very seriously. You work for a church. That's something that it is vitally important to both of us. I don't think I'm understating that.
Nope.
But in the last in the last couple of years, I've been tinkering around with the idea of could, like, I believe 1,000% that the Bible is true. But if that's the case, does this world that we're living in, could it be a matrix and all of that still be true?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the stuff that blows my mind. Like, I'm actually sitting around actively wondering, do we live in a matrix?
Yeah. I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson, somebody I heard talk about before, makes the argument that it's more likely than not that we live in a simulation, because if simulations exist, how would the odds are that we would be in the simulation, not in the reality that has the simulations branching from it. Like, just basic statistics would dictate that if this level of simulation exists, we are almost certainly living in one, because it just would be so outside of the ability, which is hilarious, but yeah, also kind of like, whoa, that messes with my head. Kind of analysis of our current situation. So, you know, be that for what it may, we're all living in somebody's video game where they're playing us, playing Cyberpunk, playing Contra, going, oh, I played this game when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, you just, at some point, your brain explodes and you go, okay, I give up. Right. I think. The reason it's so interesting is because we've been dreaming about this kind of stuff. We've been dreaming about the Matrix and technology and all this kind of stuff since we were kids.
Right.
Like, I remember when Terminator 2 came out, what a big deal that was, because it was so visually stunning and it did things that nothing had ever done before. And like, we sat around at 15 years old going, what if we had a game where you could just do whatever you wanted? And I will never, ever, ever forget when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what Grand Theft Auto 3 was. And I was like, oh crap, this is it, man. This is the game. This is the thing. That's what Grand Theft Auto 3 was that game where you could do whatever you wanted. And now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Now that's what you got.
Yeah.
And we have a story in the show notes about Five doing a stab at a headset that is under $1,000 and does AR on top of VR. Yeah. And to me, that's just mind bending.
Yeah, for sure. It's the future, and it's now, and it's all the things. So, all that said, we'll use that to transition into the news and get to some of this stuff. We're gonna start though with Sony, who had a state of play that happened, I think, just yesterday.
Yes, yesterday.
Yeah, just we're recent. We're almost on top.
Almost.
So we'll hit a couple highlights from. We're not gonna go through the whole thing. A lot of it. They did a lot of PlayStation VR stuff. Not a lot, but some PlayStation VR stuff, which is a little bit surprising, given that they have not been heavily supporting PlayStation VR, but nonetheless, still have some stuff there. But a couple of big announcements, probably the biggest announcement is the Ghost of Tsushima sequel was officially unveiled as Ghost of Yotei. I'm not sure which it is, or if I'm wrong on both of those, but we're gonna go with Ghost of Yotei for now. Regardless, very much Ghost of Tsushima, except for a new protagonist. It takes place, I guess, like 300 years after the original game. Female protagonist this time around, which is pretty cool. But like, just gorgeous, just absolutely stunning visuals. Obviously built for the PlayStation 5, unlike Ghost of Tsushima, which looked fantastic, built for the PlayStation 4. This is able to realize some of the stuff that didn't quite get realized in the first game when we saw it in that E3 event, my opinion best press conference we probably ever saw at E3, when they showed off just four games and did it so masterfully. That's when we first saw Ghost of Tsushima, and it was so jaw-droppingly beautiful. And it was still jaw-droppingly beautiful, but not quite what we saw in that first kind of teaser from it. This, at least at this point, looks that same way, but it's more believable that they'll execute because it's on PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 is obviously more powerful and looks great. So, I mean, it feels like it's a hard thing to go wrong with. Ghost of Tsushima was so successful, and of all the games we need to get back to, that's very high on the list of a game I'd like to spend more time in.
Yeah, that's one thing I can say about Sony IPs. There are those games like that, like the Spider-Mans and the Ghost of Tsushima, like they can do a couple of those sequels because they know what they're doing. Like there are some games like I don't need 14 other Black Ops games or 14 Assassin's Creeds or whatever, but there are some of those Sony IPs especially that's like, yeah, let's do another one of those because it's so good.
Yeah, for sure. Ghost of Tsushima is definitely one of those. Obviously, Death Stranding is one of those that we're seeing a sequel to, just going back to that same E3 press event. I think it was the last one Sony did. And those were two of the games. Spider-Man was another one of the games. We've already seen the sequel for that. And then God of War, which we've already seen the sequel for that too. So what a success of those games turning into franchises or continuing franchises. And so just thinking back on that. Another big announcement, Horizon Zero Dawn, not the more recent one, but Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a remaster for PlayStation 5, which is cool in and of itself. You know, it's at least old enough to justify a little bit of a remaster. And so, again, looks very pretty. Good excuse to go back to that game if you go back to games. But one really nice part about it, if you own the PlayStation 4 version, it's not free. They're still going to charge you, but they're only going to charge you $10 for the remastered version, as opposed to having to go buy a whole new game, which is really cool. Like, again, like there's a good argument to say, hey, I already own this game, just give it to me for free, which obviously a lot of work goes into.
I'll pay $10.
$10 isn't bad, right?
I'll pay $10. Like, seriously, I have you talk about if you go back to games. I hate to tell you this, when you get here and finally sit in this room, Horizon Zero Dawn is one of the games that is on my rig that we're going to put up on the big screen just so that we can say that we did it and play a little bit. Like it is set up and it's ready to go. I still think, as good as Horizon is, I still think that original game may be the best one out of any. Like, Horizon is the opposite of what I just said about Sony IPs. I don't think it's going to get better. Like, they're going to make a third game and maybe a fourth to try and wrap it up. I think that first game is about as good as you can do. Like, Forbidden West is great. It ain't as good as the original, I don't think.
Yeah.
I
think I would probably agree, in part just because Zero Dawn was novel. You know, like, it was the first time you're getting into this world with these robot dinosaurs, and it was so cool, that setting and that experience. Forbidden West is great. Forbidden West, as we've talked about,
it's great. I'm not saying there ain't nothing wrong with Forbidden West.
Forbidden West does get, like, goes down a pretty drastic slope at the end of the story. Like, the ending of Forbidden West was not great. The rest of the game's phenomenal. The world, the environment, the characters, everything like that we talked about, Todd. Horizon Zero Dawn ends way better. It is, as a complete package, probably a little bit superior to Forbidden West, but they're both great. Why not go back and play that world again? I probably won't, but if I had the time, I would love to, because it is such a fantastic world and just such a cool game. They re-recorded a lot of dialogue for it. They've got a new motion capture for somebody. Like, they just did a lot of work in this remaster, and so good on them. Again, it's not, I don't know if anybody was clamoring for that Zero Dawn remaster, but
in this age of remasters. Why not? So, Pow World, the Pokemon with guns, which we will get back to momentarily, is now out on the PlayStation 5. And so Shadow dropped during this state of play on PlayStation 5. So if you are a Pow World person, you can now play it on PS5. We talked about the crazy, like, whatever around that game that we still don't get. I know so little about it and don't want to know more about it, really, honestly, other than we're going to talk about it again here in just a second. Is now on PlayStation 5. So if you've been looking to play that and don't have a PC, you've got an ability to play it on PlayStation 5 now.
I'm sorry. I missed like 40% of what you just said. After you said the word shadow dropped, like some sort of influencer or something. Like, I had to stop and think, like, what did you just say? Like, shadow dropped.
I'm hip.
You don't have like a Kardashian hanging out there in the office, do you? I mean, I'm just saying, shadow drop. Wow. Okay.
That's drop that in every good. Once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm just looking through here really quick, seeing if there's a couple of expansions. Astrobot's getting expansion. We talked about how everybody loves Astrobot, so looking forward to DLC there. Shredder's Revenge, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, has DLC that's free and out now. Super cool. So,
well, I know what you're doing with your daughter for a while. Yeah,
got an excuse to fire that back up with the little one. There was one more. Or Alan Wake 2 has some DLC coming as well. And then Lego Horizon, just finishing up here with Horizon. Lego Horizon Adventure is coming out November 14th as official release date there. So lots of Horizon in state of play. Again, nothing huge, giant news there, but, you know, solid stuff kind of across the board. So the thing we're missing from Sony right now, I feel like it's just like that one big IP we're all waiting for, is if it's something new or if it's, you know, Last of Us 3 or whatever, you know. Like,
I'll tell you what it is. It's Grand Theft Auto 6. That's what everybody's waiting for.
Sure, but that's not Sony.
It's that level is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Sony doesn't have anything first party that's that right now, which usually they do just have something dangling out there that we're kind of waiting for. And so I've been waiting really all year for them to say, oh, and by the way, here is that dangly little thing that we're going to hold out here for you. And we just really haven't seen it yet. And so we'll see if we see it sometime. But I don't think Ghosts of Yotei, as cool as it looks, is that thing. But it does look really good.
Just real quick before we wrap up, like, maybe they're not doing that because they know they don't have to.
I think there's a lot of legitimacy to that.
Because you got games out there like Red Dead, you've got Spider-Man, granted, these aren't first-party titles like you just said, but they're so big.
Yeah, and Spider-Man is.
And we don't talk about Grand Theft Auto Online enough and Red Dead Online enough because we don't play it. I think the online versions of those games are more successful probably than you and I thought would ever happen. And they're just riding that.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do, you know, what insert big name game here, because they're still riding the last two or three or four that they put out.
Yeah, 100% true for Grand Theft Auto, for sure. Like, Grand Theft Auto Online has just been crazy what that thing has done. So, yeah. As I mentioned, we would get back to Pow World for just a second. No big shocker here, other than it seems to have taken this long for this to happen. But Nintendo, who likes to sue people, along with the Pokemon Company, which is under Nintendo, is my understanding of the hierarchy here, have sued the makers of Pow World for patent infringement. Which, again, like I said, Pokemon with guns, that's not my words, that's their words. Like, that's how they have sold this game, is Pokemon with guns. It is a pretty blatant rip of the Pokemon formula. Even if it's derivative enough to arguably be its own thing, which I think there's probably a good argument for, but Nintendo as a company is as protective of their IP as any company we ever talk about. We've talked about this on the show several times before with them going after emulators and ROMs and all that kind of stuff, even like fan made, you know, tributes to games and, you know, like just
games. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just been a ton of this. Nintendo protects their brands fiercely, and so again, my biggest shock here is that it's taken them as long as it has to file suit here.
Well, I know we got to wrap because we're on borrowed time right now, but I just got to ask: do you feel differently about that now than you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Because I think the reason that they do it, at least from my perspective, is you can argue that Nintendo today is the most successful video game company on the planet because they just do their own thing and they don't really care. And they're making plenty of money and like they've had one flop in the Wii U in the last, 25 years?
Yeah.
Like they're almost on, the only example I can think of is like they're on Valve level. They're just kind of doing whatever because they don't have to play by the rules at this point because they've just killed it. And so like when we talked about this 10 years ago, I think I probably would have said, it sucks that they shut down this emulator. It sucks that they shut down this fan project. But now I'm at an age where I'm like, well, obviously their business model is working. Like, you can't blame them for doing that. I don't know if that's just old age or if I have respect for it, but as much as we talk about how healthy the gaming industry is right now, despite all the layoffs and all the crap that's going on, a very large percentage of that is Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so they can kind of do what they want to with this stuff, I feel like, which I don't think I would have said on this show 5 years ago.
Yeah, I there's a certain part of me that's always been kind of torn through this, in that I love the ability for fans to be able to generate content and make content based off of existing IPs for the benefit of the kind of the community as a whole. And, you know, there are companies that embrace that in different ways and much more so than Nintendo does. And like you said, we've in the past definitely railed Nintendo against Nintendo for doing that. However, and you are exactly right in that their protection of their brand has kept their brand almost pristine. Like,
yes,
just like there's so few brands that have the just beloved nature of Nintendo, like that, yeah, just have so few scars against them. And if you get one of these fan-made games out there that is, you know, even Pokemon with guns, this isn't Pokemon directly, and so Nintendo's not getting backlash over the game, but they're protective of it because they can see how they might get backlash over something like Pokemon with guns. And so they just want to protect that brand as much as they can, and they have been successful doing that and have kept, you know, Mario to the point that they could put out a animated movie that just kills and like just increases that brand loyalty and how positive it's viewed. And so from a business perspective, whereas once upon a time, I think I would have said from a business perspective, I think you're hurting more than you're helping with your consumers. At this point, I'm kind of like, you obviously know what you're doing because y'all are killing it. And so whatever I may think personally, obviously, you guys have a good plan because y'all are massively successful and have been doing basically the same thing for 25 years and it's paying off for you. So, whereas I would love to see more freedom for people to do stuff, I get Nintendo's point and it's working for them. And so whatever I care about personally kind of doesn't matter because they're going to continue to do this and they're going to continue to do really well. Even if this doesn't, like, it's very hard to imagine that like PAL world is going to get taken offline. Like, I just can't see that happening practically. Like that there's some like cease and desist that happens or something like that. Could, but it seems unlikely. But still, this is Nintendo saying we will protect our brand as a kind of warning to anybody else who wants to go and make like Donkey Kong with guns or something like that, you know? Donkey Kong with weed, which honestly kind of makes a lot of sense, you know? Like, you could justify that in certain ways, and Nintendo will come after you if you try to make that game.
So I just also want to mention that, like, the other thing about Nintendo is that we don't hear, at least I haven't heard, you tell me if I'm incorrect, but all of this stuff going on in the industry with layoffs, we don't hear about layoffs at Nintendo. Like, I'm sure it happens.
Sure.
I'm sure some people have lost their job, but not to the scale of what else is going on in the industry. I mean, like, it's bad out there. If you and I actually really got serious and started talking to people we know, I think we would find that there's a whole lot of people out of work that really don't need to be out of work. Probably more people than have been reported. You don't hear about that from Nintendo. And so again, like, it's hard for me to fault anything they're doing at this point. It really is.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're successful regardless of what we think they should do, and so they're going to continue doing what they do.
Yeah,
you know, as much as I kind of want to be like, I wouldn't do that, they go, I don't care, man. You don't run this company the way that we do. Hugely successfully. So
yeah,
get it. Kind of related in that kind of industry news territory. This was a story we had on the last show, the previous show we didn't get to. And it's just gotten weirder since. This is about Annapurna Games, Annapurna Interactive, which is indie publisher. Lots of games that you are probably familiar with have come through Annapurna, including Stray. It was a big one that they released. But you've probably seen the Annapurna publisher logo on different things you've played if you've ever played any indie games, because they're a pretty big player in that space. A couple weeks ago, basically their entire staff just walked out. Just quit in mass, and not for real clear reasons. There's obviously a lot of internal strife around some personnel moves. One of the original founders of the group was kind of let go, and there was a lot of controversy over where they fired or did they leave on their own accord, and then the new owners came in and there's a tension, whatever. But like nothing that made it absolutely clear on what exactly like this group of people that left the company were looking for. And there's still not ultimately a lot of clarity on what exactly happened, other than there was obviously just this turmoil internally that kind of led to this mass exodus. Annapurna is like a pretty active publisher in the video game space. And so they have lots of stuff that they are working on and say they are still working on. And my favorite part of this whole thing is there's a quote from the spokesperson that says, "We're still talking to development teams. We're grateful for their partnership. We know, you know, developers are still working." Again, Annapurna, not a developer per se, even though they were working on a Blade Runner game in-house, their first, I think, in-house game. But in the whole end of this quote, it is the last line of the quote is, "P.S. we're hiring." So I do hope, because I've played many of their games, and we've talked about Stray as one, Outer Wilds, which is just another brilliant game, was published by Annapurna. I do hope they are able to right this ship and continue to do good work. But just in like the era of industry layoffs that we talk about all the time, to have a story where like there's this mass exodus from a company that isn't layoffs, that was people voluntarily leaving their job, I am so curious about what it was in the working conditions of that place that encourage those people to leave. And I'm sure we'll get some big write-up about all the details at some point, but man, it is just a wild story.
I'm more than curious, I'm worried, because if you have a situation where the entire staff gets up and walks out, it's kind of one of those situations, like they're probably not doing anything over there that is more severe or unfair than is happening at other studios. And so I'm looking at this going, okay, is this going to happen somewhere else next week? Is this, you know, are we going to hear about the staff of Blizzard getting up and walking out or Larian or
right.
Or yeah, like I just, that's what scares me is you don't know. And for somebody to get up and like one person you kind of see, but an entire staff.
Right. It is like, now again, remember this is a indie publisher. And so by entire staff is about 25 people, which is not nothing. Again, that's significant right. enough, but it's not also the scale that we talk about with these, you know, 1600 people layoffs at a time from some of these giant companies, these massive publishers. Still, like in an industry that is really, really hit hard by labor issues and specifically people getting laid off and not having jobs to replace those jobs when they lose them, to make that decision is it's something. And so we'll see what happens. Again, like I said, that story's not going anywhere. We're going to hear more of that. A couple of things about The Sims. Not something I was planning to say today, but nonetheless, here we are. both of them are interesting. First of all, EA has made pretty clear that they have no intent on making The Sims 5. That, like, The Sims 4 is, like, just a thing. Like, it's just a perpetual thing. And so, like, at some point, I would not be surprised if, like, they rebrand and just make it The Sims and just drop the number altogether. And it's just a perpetual, like, and then you get, you know, content updates all the time, which is all that it is at this point anyway. I have no idea what the, like, Sims community looks like at this point. It's been so long since I've been engaged in the Sims world.
I haven't played in a really long time, but the last time I did, it owned me. And so after seeing this story, I'm kind of tempted to go fire up The Sims 4 and see what's different in my neighborhood.
Yes, me too. And at the same time, I'm also kind of relieved there's not going to be a Sims 5 to, like, make me go back to it and own me again.
Because, let's be honest, and we can say the same thing about Civ even. We love Civ. But, like, if you played one Civ, you pretty much played them all.
Right.
Like, what else are you going to do with The Sims that you haven't already done other than make them look prettier?
Right, exactly. That's not all you get out of them at this point.
Like, so I applaud them for being, okay, we don't need to do this again. It's like Madden. Like, we don't need a Madden every year. Just give a freaking roster update and be done with it.
Right, exactly.
I applaud this.
Yeah. The other Sims story is that Amazon MGM Studios is working on a Sims movie.
Oh.
And I gotta tell you, I don't hate it. I'm really interested to see what I think it could be really fascinating and cool, really meta. So, like, the comparison that they make in this, and it's already setting themselves up for disaster that they are saying this out loud, but of trying to make a, like, Barbie like impact in the film space. As
did you
see the Barbie movie?
No,
the Barbie movie is really good. It's really good. It's, like, super like ridiculous and meta and everything else, but it's, like, really well done, and it's, like, fascinating and, like, this kind of, like, existential, like, story of, like, how we address, like, life and death and hopelessness and, like, whatever. Like, it's really good. I would have never dreamt of watching it on my own, but I have a wife and a daughter, and so we watched it together, and I was like, this thing is solid. Like, they did a great job with something I have so little interest in. Like, you could do that with The Sims in, like, such a similar way of, like, the simulation and a simulation thing we talked about earlier in the show. It could be fascinating. Now, whether or not they could actually make it good, I don't know. But, like, there is a thread here that could be super, super cool.
Two things. I'm looking at you in the face, trying to figure out if you might actually have COVID with 105 degree fever, because I don't think I ever thought that I would hear daughter, but we're men. We're men. I'm not watching that. Like,
you got to see the Barbie movie sometime. It's really good.
Okay. Somebody help me. I don't know where I'm at. My reality has been twisted, and I think aliens have stolen Tommy. I don't know who this guy is that I'm doing the show with, but it ain't my buddy that I've been doing the show with for the last 20 years. All jokes aside, I don't discount what you're saying. I have not seen it just for the purpose of everybody, just because everybody said it was so wonderful. And yet, no, it's a Barbie movie, and I'm a 45-year-old man. I'm not doing that. But I hear what you're saying. And granted, you get a pass because you do have a 6-year-old daughter.
Yes, like, that does help.
I'm okay with that. And if I ever find a girlfriend, I'm sure she'll insist that I watch it. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think the idea of a Sims anything TV show movie is absurd because, I mean, they don't have a language that you can understand. I mean, I guess you could just do it with people but like, how do you make that into a TV show? I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're gonna have to stray from what it is, in its, current form. But that's again where you have the freedom to like do so much fan service too, of like, nods towards Simlish, you know, or whatever the language is called, and like, you know, like Simlish for Dummies books sitting on the shelf or whatever. Like, okay. There's just like the Mario movie did this so well that there's just so much fan service in it for like geeks like us that a lot of people would never pick up on as little homages to things. Like, you could do that and still have this meta narrative. Does need to be a movie. I can't see the Sims TV show. Shelf life of what this is probably not great, but I think they could do something fascinating with it. So I'm actually really interested to see what they do. And if it's not, it could be cool.
Even the game, when you boot it up, kind of has like a Simpsons kind of feel to it. You know, the intro of the Simpsons where you kind of zooms into the neighborhood and you got the music and the thing. I could sort of see it working. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So a couple of quick things we're not going to get to in much detail. Netflix, confirms that there is more Cyberpunk on the way, the anime series, which is great because it's really good. I'm not even into anime. And
it's another anime. I think that's what I read. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too. So we'll see what that turns into, but that I'm more confident will be good. As you mentioned earlier, there is a new Vive headset that is $1,000, right under $999, that does high-end VR and AR, which is cool. And just recently, like before we started the show recently, Meta, trying to remember the name of this company now, Meta announced that there's a new Oculus coming, or not Oculus, yeah, Oculus, a new Quest coming out that's a more budget-friendly one, so a $300 headset, I believe. And so both sides of the VR world getting updates, the more budget-friendly and the more high-end focused. Again, whatever the world of VR is at this point. There is also like super high-end Quest coming too, and I'm not even keeping up with that at this point.
Okay, so a couple things on that. I'm glad that you brought it up because I don't know if you noticed, but we got an email in the Gaming Uncensored email box because my niece, who loves me,
yes,
who is 6 and a half a birthday, called me the other day and said, "Hi, Uncle Jay." And I stopped and I said, "What do you want, kid?" And she said, "I want to play VR, but I haven't signed in a really long time. Can you help me with the headset?" So our headset, one of our headsets, still lives at her house.
Nice.
And I had to break her into the to the headset the other day. So
nice.
if I don't remember which one of our credit cards she has, so if you see some like random charges on your credit card, let me know.
Fair.
Because I did tell her that I wasn't sure which credit card was on that. So,
yeah.
So that happened. I'm glad you brought that up. I do love my niece, but she really only called me when she needs something.
It's kind of how it goes when they get to a certain age. So,
yeah.
There you go. Really quick releases, just to mention a couple big ones here. The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom comes out tomorrow. Currently has an 86 on Metacritic. The reviews that I've seen have been generally pretty positive for it. IGN did a really glowing review. There's been a couple others. So really excited about that. Apparently it's pretty good. Frostpunk, as we mentioned, Frostpunk 2 is out, has an 86 as well. So same level there. PC version of God of War Ragnarok is officially out. I'm trying to see here anything else big. Now, I thought there was one more, and I don't remember what it was right now, but maybe one more in there. Not the time of year where we get huge releases, but we're starting to get to bigger release season. We've got oh sweet goodness, I'm totally blanking now on Dragon Age. Yeah, new Dragon Quest coming. I'm like, that's not it.
No.
That new Dragon Age game is coming out pretty soon, which I'm really interested to see the reviews on. That one I'm really fascinated by, because I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I want it to be good. I love the original. They kind of went downhill from there. Apparently, the more recent one was pretty decent. I just never put any time into it. Anyway, I hope it's good. We'll see.
I hope it's good. We're not going to play it, but I hope it's good.
If it's good, I don't know. If it's like, if people are like, yeah, this is similar to Origins, I'll find time for it. If it's anything less than that, probably not.
Yeah. So. Agreed, 100%.
There were a few things we didn't get to. Go by gaminguncensored.com to see those show notes we didn't talk about.
The show notes are there, and there's always discussion going on the Facebook page as well. I'm sure this show will generate plenty of discussion. He's actually worried about the fact whether the baby monitor is working. Because
I know.
We've been going so long with no problem. So
he hasn't made a peep.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. But the Facebook is where the discussion's at, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of things happening there. I'm almost certain there will be a Matrix discussion now that we've brought up whether we live in a Matrix or not. Lots of stuff. Of course, we're on the Twitter as well. Tommy watches that and pays attention to that. I do as well when something comes up that I find interesting, so you can check that out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. Holy cow, we made it through a show before the kid woke up. We're Gaming Uncensored, and we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.